So we're going to do something totally different. Actually, in my 20 years, I cannot remember doing a co-preaching message. We were up till midnight last night making an audible play. How many know the snow causes things to change? How many of you had a little bit of an audible this week with your schedule, going where you wanted to? My vehicle sometimes wanted to go different places than I wanted to. How many know, I love what my dad said, the four-wheel drive is just the opportunity for four wheels to slide.
Yeah.
And
I like so, it's permission to drift.
It's permission drift. Yeah,
Oak Harbor drift. I maybe drove my truck here this morning in two-wheel drive, though it's four-wheel drive,
yeah,
just so I could drift corners. It's fine. It's cool. Fine. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You're safe on the roads.
Hey, can we give it up for one another being here and making it to God's house?
Amen.
And for all those guys that showed up and ladies that helped to shovel and make some things happen, amen. We just want to appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
And for the team just willing to play the audible today. So a couple things that we want to share that just been on our heart. We really want every person that signed up for the Frank DiMaggio Intensive. By the way, we have every intention of making that happen. Amen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm
going to
be here.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to be here with a notebook. I'm just saying, I'll be holy with a notebook. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you see me look a little bit like Frank DiMaggio, we know what happened. So
he didn't make it.
We'll pray that his flight gets here and all that. So anyways, we have close to 110 people that are actively volunteering that have signed up. And we've got 30-plus kids, 30 to 40, actually closer probably to 40 kids that are going to be a part of that. So for the child care, you probably noticed on your seat, it's a say yes. Because there's many of you that have yet to participate in volunteering at Life Church. And we would just really appreciate if you would prayerfully consider, like short prayer, Jesus, please help them, amen, to say yes and sign up and be a part of blessing the active volunteers here at Life Church. To help out. So if you would do us the privilege of filling this out, give it to our ushers after the service. Ushers, you hear that? We're going to make sure that we have someone ready to take that in. That would bless our child care workers as we're going to have a phenomenal weekend. Pastor Frank's going to be here on next Sunday as well, and so you're not going to want to miss that. We will have services at 9 and 11 a.m., God willing.
Come on.
And we are excited about having Frank come in. Pastor Josh, what else do we got?
Well, that's it.
He's wrong. We got Vision Sunday.
We have Vision Sunday
right,
coming up.
Yeah, right.
That is not this next weekend, but the weekend after. So you're definitely going to want to come to that. So if you haven't been to one of our Life Church Vision Sundays, it's an epic moment. It's a moment where we get to think forward into 2019 and say, this is what God's really driving for us this year. If you weren't here during last year's Vision, Live Generously, I'll tell you, in Live Generously alone, we raised tons of money. We were able to give free cars away to people. We gave two cars away. And I'm not talking hoopties. We gave some nice cars away, all right? Come on. Yeah, we blessed some people. We bought a roof for a widow. We were able to do some incredible, amazing God. Yeah, we did Night to Shine, which was a prom night experience for people with special needs. I mean, we did some incredible God things in 2018 just with Live Generously. So I am so excited for 2019, what God's going to do for each one of us, for you, for our church. And I want to encourage you, last Sunday of this month, you want to be here. Amen? Last Sunday of the month, where do you want to be?
Here.
Where do you want to be?
Here.
Just remember that. I'm going to be here.
You are? Okay,
I'm going to be here.
I'm glad.
Amen.
We'll talk about it if you are.
So
okay. Amen. And amen. Hey, can you just turn to the person next to you and just say, welcome to Life Church. Amen. Don't slap them. Don't hit them. Just be kind.
Unless, of course, they're being weird.
If you're an older generation, remember that be kind rewind. Just saying. Remember that? Anyways, all right, moving right along. I'm not going to hang out there about age. Amen. So we just want to welcome everyone here today at Life Church. Can you come back just a little bit so I can see that direction?
Yes, I can.
I love you.
I love you.
So we actually had a lot of fun working on this. And we were going to do Life Group Sunday. Pastor Josh is over our life groups. And when we started calling even our life group leaders, like we noticed about 50% of our leaders were going to be gone. And so we're like, kind of like, let's just do the math. If 50% of our leaders are going to be gone, that's a good possibility that 50% of the church will not be here. So why don't we do one service? We'll modify the service, and let's talk kingdom today. And so we're going to do a little preaching, a little Q&A between Josh and I. This is something that we've not done before at this level. And so we're just going to have fun today. And we're hoping that you find something that's beneficial for you. We really believe that every church has a culture. Isn't it true? Every family has a culture. Every church has a culture. Already from the moment you stepped, if you especially you're new, you already are experiencing maybe something that's different, something that you're not accustomed to. Maybe you came from a different kind of church culture. How many that have traveled or been in different places know that every church has a different culture? Every family has a different culture. And sometimes the culture that you like is the only culture you know. And so we are blessed that you love our culture visitors today. Amen. But we're going to hope that by the end of this service that the culture of a church has inspired you to fulfill the God culture that he wants in all of our lives. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to talk about having a long-lasting positive impact on you as an individual in this church and in our community. And I think that that really requires a kingdom-first perspective and attitude. How many know that attitude is everything? And how many of you teach your children that? But some of us sometimes need to be reminded of that ourselves. This week has been a reminder of attitude when driving down the road with people going 2 miles an hour. You can't go up a hill, by the way, going 2 miles an hour on ice. Amen. Just saying.
Or when people think that snow gives them a license to drift. Is that...
Yeah, we're praying for people like Pastor Josh.
It's fine. It's no big deal. You're safe on the roads, okay? That's what I'm saying.
So here's the deal. That was good. Okay, here's the deal. We know that when we talk about... Actually, I'm going to throw this scripture up, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, because I want to give a scripture here before we just talk funny stuff here. Amen? Let's throw a scripture up. Matthew 6:33.
We got it.
Amen. Can y'all say word up? The word is up there. Okay, you got it now. All right. Okay, Matthew 6:33. Seek what? I just need to make sure you're awake. Seek the what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom above, of God above. And what? And he will give you. I tell my wife, by the way, that there's sometimes I have a need to fulfill my want. Just saying. But I think God wants to fulfill all of our needs. Amen. And what's the first part of the scripture? Seek the kingdom of God. If we're going to have a church culture that seeks to have a lasting positive impact in your life, I just want to say that sometimes that requires a change in the culture, not only of the church, but the church is represented by the culture of families. How many know that Life Church, its culture is the sum total of all of our cultures in this ministry? And so I'm kind of hoping that God begins to inspire not just our church, but individuals and families. Because we'll talk a lot about family, but I also want the individual to know God is concerned about you because there's a culture you carry in your life. And if we're going to have a long-lasting positive impact in your life and in your family as a church, then we need to talk about seeking the kingdom of God first, above all else. And so one of the translations says, in relationship to seeking the kingdom of God above all else, it's talking about the kind of thing that concerns you. How many of you know that there are things that can concern you and your family that may have nothing to do about the kingdom of God? How many know that having water in your home is a genuine, legitimate concern? Amen?
That's a concern for me.
You know, like this last week, I spent 6 hours under my house concerned for my pipes. because I wanted to make sure that our neighbors also, because we have connection here with our neighbors for their house. But seeking the kingdom of God is about what things concern you. There are legitimate concerns. How many of you have noticed in your family or in your family culture that not every concern is a God concern or a kingdom concern?
That's real talk.
Okay, we were actually talking through this last night, and I pray that the same thing happens to you guys that happened to us. We started getting convicted the more we were preaching at one another. We were like, oh, Jesus, we need you.
You ever watch two pastors cry? It's about to get real in this place. I'm just saying. Welcome to church at Life Church.
And I was like, man, God, I need to seek your kingship. That's a big word. If we were to break that down, it's about seeking his lordship. It's about making God such a reality in your life that the things that concern you in life begin to literally be replaced with the things that concern God concerning your life. How many of you find that you're anxious often about things that God's not anxious about? And I think that when we begin to seek his kingdom first, we start to actually have a resolve that maybe all these other things are in addition to and taken care of when we seek his kingdom first. I think sometimes we flip that verse around and we start caring about everything and the kingdom last. Wow. And I just want to give an invitation to you this morning to say maybe God wants to speak something to you and your family and in your family culture, that maybe God wants to cause a pause. Maybe there needs to be a Selah and a moment of amen. God, what do you want to pause us on in our life? Are you seeking God? Are you making him the Lord of your life? Is he really the one that drives the narrative of your life? Is he the one that's calling the shots in your life? What are some priorities that may be an indicator? How many know that when you're driving on the road, around in your vehicle, that you're thankful that your dashboard works? Yes. Right? I had something that came on today. It was concerning me. It was a new thing that came on. It was on the dashboard, and I was like, how many know that sometimes, I saw a cartoon once. It was kind of funny. It showed this little kid totally concerned about this sound coming from the closet in the middle of the night. And then it said adult concerns, and it showed an adult totally freaked out because I heard sounds coming from under their vehicle. How many of you like me? It's like, I don't want to be the person, but you know, at the same time, like, I don't want to spend a lot of money. This morning I had an indicator come on, and I just want to say that I think that God gives us a dashboard in our Christian walk, and that we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because maybe there's some things that have been blaring so long that it's become wall art to you, and you've been ignoring the Holy Spirit trying to say, hey, wait, there's a caution. Today I had to look it up, and maybe for you need to start opening the Bible again, the manual to your life, and start looking at the indicators and saying, maybe I probably should put that DEF in my diesel truck. And so this morning, in between picking my wife up, I was filling up my vehicle because I recognized that maybe I wouldn't make it back here if I wasn't paying attention. I'm praying the Holy Spirit helps you to begin to pause, to look at the dashboard and say, am I seeking God's kingdom first? So why don't you just share some of the kingdom principles or priorities that we can lean into?
Well, I think there's some pretty incredible priorities in the kingdom that really help us stay focused as Christians. I think one of them that I think is a mandate from God for us, especially parents in the room, is leading your families in prayer and biblical study. I think this is a big thing where maybe our culture has missed it a little bit, where we think that, oh, our kids will get it someday. It's like they have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's great. They do. But we also have to bring it to them. We have to show them what it looks like to be a Christian, to be like a real, authentic, true Christian. And I think it's really important that in your dashboard, to use that reference, like you're saying, well, this is something that tells me I'm going in the right direction. The question you maybe need to ask yourself today is, am I leading my family in prayer? Am I leading my family in things of the Bible? Am I taking that time? That's a kingdom priority, where maybe your priority was like, am I getting my kid to basketball on time? Where are your priorities? Are you doing these things? How about this? Here's another priority that I think is really good.
Basketball, that was a low blow, bro.
That was a low blow. Hey. How about this one? Discipleship. This is a kingdom priority, and I think there's two parts to it. There's both discipleship, you pursuing discipleship, and there's also discipleship, you providing it. There's some people in this place who can totally provide discipleship to someone. You have a knowledge base that is incredible. You know more about the Bible than me and Pastor Michael combined. And it is time for you to provide discipleship for someone. It is. It's just time. It's time for your priority to align with the kingdom of God that says, I want people discipled. And that's a kingdom priority. But another one is to just go pursue it. If you're not pursuing discipleship, why? 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 Why aren't you doing it? It's really important that you pursue discipleship. And there's lots of ways here at Life Church. You can pursue it through small groups, through our life groups, or you can pursue it by just saying, hey, I'd like a meeting with the pastors. Like, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to ask for a meeting and say, hey, where would I best fit in discipleship? Or where would I best fit to disciple someone else? Come on. Let's get our kingdom priorities going.
Amen. Other priorities, how many know that money has a big impact in our life?
For real.
And so finance is one of those. How we spend money, are we generous, are we obedient with what God has given us? Serving in our local church, evangelizing the lost. Are we willing to literally allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in moments of inconvenience? Right. How many of you have ever noticed life is busy? And sometimes the Lord doesn't always speak to us in convenient moments. And so being open and sensitive, seeking his kingdom first, I really believe is having an awareness and a willingness to say, yes, God, if that's what you want, if I'm going to seek his lordship, if I'm going to let him speak into my life, these are priorities. And trust us, we're not talking from a place like we've got it all together. We are like literally, we were like, Jesus, help us to look more like you. Help us to have stronger priorities in this. Serving, evangelizing the lost, your ordinary life.
Yeah, your ordinary life. I think this is such a big thing. Where are the kingdom priorities in your hobbies? Where are they in your hobbies? Where are they in your, like, is your kingdom priority that, oh my goodness, I need to get my golf handicap lowered. Is your priority, well, not today. I hope you're not getting your golf handicap.
Yellow ball.
But just like, where are your priorities in your hobbies? Have your hobbies become somewhat of an addiction? Have you taken a hobby and elevated it to a point where it's absorbing your life? Or how about this? Your health. Where this is ordinary life stuff. So like, how is the kingdom working out in your health? What are you doing to be a healthy person? How about your workplace? Are you bringing the kingdom? Are your kingdom priorities evident in your workplace? Mm-hmm. Or this one is really good.
This is like right where we all live.
Right, your media consumption.
Where's Thank you your kingdom? For that.
Come on.
Someone gave us permission to say it real, huh? She gave us permission, so all the rest of you just get to hear this.
Media consumption. Where's your kingdom priorities in your media consumption? If you haven't challenged yourself for a little while, how about this? How about you just challenge yourself to not do social media for a week and to only listen to and watch Christian media? Seems like a simple challenge.
There's a lot of quiet people.
Wait till Tuesday, okay? I'm just saying, why don't you just challenge yourself? See how much you get accomplished in a week. You'll be shocked at how much you get done in a week where you thought, oh my goodness, it wasn't that. But where are your priorities in your media consumption?
I want to know that we're not talking about giving up media. We're talking about making the right priorities, the right thing. How many of you think that our children are watching us? far more than we realize. And how many of you, if you had to take a pulse on your consumption, you'd probably say, maybe I need to lead better? Like, I've been convicted personally. Pastor Josh was saying, you know, my wife and I have been fasting, doing different kinds of fasts for a while, but we've not done media fast this month. But Pastor Josh has been doing, he's not talking about it, but I'll share with you, he's been doing a media fast for the month of February. And he's just like, man, it's been like really evident how much I need to spend more time with the Lord and how much more time I have when I'm not binge watching the next Netflix show or Prime thing that came out. How many know that these guys have it down? They're professionals. And if you can't relate to this, then maybe God is speaking to you in another area. Maybe this is a generational thing, but for a lot of our culture, for a lot of ages, the reality of binge watching is a thing. And how many know that they've even got really so great at it that, like, it autoplays? You know, like, you get to the end of an episode, and you don't, it's more effort to stop it. At least I tell myself that. Like, it's more energy just to stop it. So I'll just let it keep going. And so, I don't know, you guys are making us not feel very spiritual right now. Better, like, y'all lying. Because you got something else that Jesus wants to take out of your lifestyle and bring a little more of him into it. Amen. How know that Jesus is finding a way to fit into our lives when he was already meant to be all in our lives?
That's right.
And so, we just want to submit to you that I believe that the Holy Spirit probably has some things on the dashboard of our life. Mm-hmm. But maybe some of us have had it on there so long that you're like, check engine, still running, so who cares? I think you need to pay attention to the check engine light of your life and say, maybe if it's on the dashboard, maybe I have been going to the gas station to fill up so often that I didn't realize that the economy went down because I wasn't checking the reality of the condition of my heart. Amen? Like, if I just read more of the word, then I'll get that. But maybe God's wanting you to actually follow him in the lordship in the indicator of your life. So we're not telling you what specifically is showing up on your dashboard. Amen.
I think there's a few indicators, though. You know, I think there's challenges when it comes to, like, things showing up on the dashboard. We're going to just use that metaphor over and over again today. So the thing shows up on your dashboard. You ever had that check engine light and instant anxiety happens? Because it doesn't tell you what happened. It just is like a light shows up on your dashboard. You know, I think it's the same way with kingdom priority. Sometimes the kingdom priority flashes and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm not good at something, or I need to adjust or something. And then we start having these feelings about it. So a few of those feelings can be fear, anxiety. Like, if I give God an inch, will he take a mile?
Come on, how many of you know that we live, like, in a culture that has commitment fears?
Right.
I mean, if a pastor straight or a leader up asks you, hey, would you be willing to do this? It's like a deer in the headlights. They ask for an inch, they're going to take 1,000 miles. You know what? We're just more spiritual than you. I'm totally lying. This is what goes through my mind. Some of you ask us, hey, can we do this ministry? And I'm like, oh, Jesus. They're asking for an inch, but
no,
I don't have any more to give. How? Come on, can we just have an assessment and be honest? Like, how many of you struggle a little bit? You're a little bit on that struggle bus of like commitment is a real challenge in a culture that's so stinking fast. Just raise your hand if at all, at any level, you're like, it goes through your mind. Like, if God asked me for this, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. Okay, I'm a few of us. Thank you for being honest for those who raise their hands.
Thank you. I feel really human in this place. Here's the thing. I think another thing is this kind of fear or anxiety about kingdom things, and it's this. What if I don't or can't follow through with what is asked of me? What if I'm not, like, good enough to do that? Well, you leave that to Jesus. How about this one? What if it makes me weird? Anybody else? I don't want to be one of them weird church people. You know, the one that show up early on Sunday morning? Come on. I don't want to be one of those weird people. Well, let me tell you, you were weird before.
I don't know about him, what he's saying. I just want to say, though, think about this. If at all you struggle with the I know there's a part of me that has to stand up. But just lean into this a little bit. Think about this. How many people struggle with, like, if my life looks more like Jesus, then I'll be that Christian freak. And so I think what happens is we kind of pause and we're like, I still want to have friends in the world. And I think that you can be very Christ-like and very engaging in the culture that we live. And I think that's what God's called us to. The reality is, you know, there's a lot of strong Christians in this church. And so when if you're struggling at all with, like, you know, but I may be a little bit weird, I just for a moment want you to look down your aisle, because that's who you're talking about. You may be talking about your spouse or your neighbor or one of your friends. And by the way, you are also in the same aisle. Isn't that true? So let's talk about some of the other things.
Well, we're gonna run through these just real quick. But I think another thing that can happen with our check engine light here is this: wrong priorities. You know, you're too busy to keep the first thing first. I'm too busy. I got to run to the next thing. I don't have enough time to wake up in the morning and read my Bible. I got to get to work. I don't have time to pray with my kids at night. They go to bed too early. Just saying.
I want to say something. I think that it's analogous to this. I think sometimes we're running all the bases, but running in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, it's really cute, like, you know, in Pee Wee League, but it's not really cute when we're full-grown men and women. Like, we can get eliminated from the game if you still put all the energy but in the wrong priorities. So I just want to encourage you to run the race in the right direction. Amen? Right.
How about this? Maybe it's lack of knowledge. You just didn't know. You didn't know the importance of kingdom priorities. I mean, when we're talking up here, we're talking about, like, kingdom priorities are everything. If you seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, he will give you everything you need. And so sometimes it's just lack of knowledge. Maybe you never read that scripture like that before. You just didn't know. So the thing here is you need to understand that God has some incredible kingdom priorities for you, and they are all wrapped in the purpose of who you are. The Bible says it this way, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." See, God had plans for you, and his plans are related to the kingdom, to his lordship. And the thing is it's important for you to understand that God made you incredible and amazing and awesome, and God has these incredible plans for you, and that they involve the kingdom in your life. You want to know the purpose of God for your life? Some people are running around going, "Man, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do." Let me ask you this question. Where are you involved in his kingdom? Where's the kingdom priority in your life? I'll stop preaching.
No, that's good.
There's a great video that's been really challenging Pastor Michael and I.
Yeah, just realize, like, we're putting ourselves on the front line.
Like, seriously.
We're in front of the firing squad saying, "God, what can you do in our lives?" So if this hurts, it's a good kind of hurt, because it's God, I believe, speaking to all of us and saying, will you be willing to acknowledge that maybe there's some prioritization that needs to kind of adjust in our lives? Let's watch. This is Francis Chan. I just need to preface, as the lead pastor of our ministry, I care about you deeply. I don't agree with all things Francis Chan, but he is a great communicator. There's a lot of things I do like. I think that this is something that will be really, I think it will be helpful in the conversation, and I appreciate his words. Let's watch this.
Going overseas, or they're, you know, right where they're at in the inner cities or in their own suburbs, just going, "You know, I'm going to be radical. I'm going to follow Jesus completely. I want it all. I'm not about the games and and about, okay, entertain me to death in the church. I want to follow Jesus and I want to experience him. And I guess my challenge to the church is for those that are maybe my age or those who are further along, it's like, would you set the example for the young people? Because what happened in my generation when we were younger, there were those who were radical, but there weren't people. Once they got married, everything changed. Once they had kids, everything changed. And I'm just praying, oh God, could I be an example of someone who's married and has kids and is still thinking kingdom first? Like, you know, like 1 Corinthians 7, those who are married should live as though they're not. There's a sense in which this mission is bigger, and can we still live and take risks and still surrender our lives and say, you know what, it's me, my wife, my family, I want to demonstrate to them, you know what, look, when we follow Christ, yeah, that was a little scary, yeah, that might have been a little dangerous, yeah, that was not the, you know, logical move to make, but God did call us that direction, and let's head that way, and I want my kids to experience what it looks like when we live by faith. But not only that, I want to be an example to the young people to say, you know what, your mission with the Lord doesn't end when you get married and suddenly, oh, well, you're dating, so focus on each other, and oh, it's your first year of marriage, you know, just focus on each other, and oh, you just had a kid, you know what, then take time for that little kid until he goes to school, then you'll be free, but then, once they're in school, it's like, oh, they're teenagers now. Just collect that family together and worry about yourselves. But then you're teaching them this mentality. Again, it's not about going out at the harvest and being a worker. It's about, let's protect our family. Amen. Let's keep us safe. Let's find some gated community and, you know, keep them all in our house, away from all the bad people. And there's no excuse for that. That is not what, you can't find that in this book. Living for him, and you're missing out. Not only are you missing out on life, but your children are missing out on life when you do that. That's why so many of the kids, when they turn 18, they just ditch out all together because they didn't see anything real in your life. They didn't see that adventure, and you didn't put yourself in positions where God had to come through, and then it comes through, and your whole family was going, wow, that was amazing. I'm never going to leave that God. Now, you just create a little bubble for yourself where how is God even going to operate in that? And I don't know. I don't want to be negative. I'm going to sound negative. I just get sad because not only are you missing out on life, but we are turning away our children by the droves because our lives are not the adventures they see in Scripture. And they are not experiencing the Holy Spirit. They're experiencing like a Christian version of the American dream. That's watered down, and we just make excuses for really idolizing our families rather than really putting Christ in the mission first.
That's good.
Ow.
How many think that it's important that when we go to the doctor, we talk about the real symptom?
Yeah.
Not the pseudo-symptom.
That's so
getting
good.
Getting the pseudo, you know. Prescription. I think God wants us to really be honest about the true state of our lives as individuals, as married, as children, as parents, in every metric of our life, as workers, as bosses. How many think God wants to do a little surgery in our hearts and to say, God, help me to reprioritize my life so it looks like something that's worthy of following?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Agreeing. Well, we're gonna go over a few of the quotes just from that video and ask a few pointed questions. These questions are Pastor Michael's gonna answer them. I'm glad he's gonna answer them. I don't have to. I just get to make the quotes. So here we go. Here's the first quote and the first question says this. Francis Chan said, I guess my challenge to the church is for those who are maybe my age or those who are further along, would you set the example for the young people? So here's the question. Where do you see yourself in this statement? Are you the older wanting to be the example or the younger wishing you had an example? And why?
How many of you are, can I see lifting up your hands. How many of you guys are in your like late 30s to 40s just in this room? Wow, we are outnumbered, by the way, y'all. There's a lot of younger, there's a lot of older. What I've been noticing, just even as a pastor, is I feel like I'm in that middle generation seeing a lot of the wisdom and a lot of the change that's happening. And it's an interesting situation, and I'm certain that a lot of those that are now in their 50s, 60s, or older, you also notice that at that station in your life. There's a lot of great things that are coming up, and there's a lot of things that people are saying, like, that's not really cool about the younger generation. And I'm in the middle going, Jesus, help me. Help me as a lead pastor to embrace what's new that is right for the church, and help me also to encourage the participation of the older generation. I think that, honestly, I'm not living the kind of radical life Jesus wants me to. Because when I begin to look at the kind of radical life the apostles led, I realize there's more room for God to show up in priorities in my own life. Now, that may be shocking for a pastor to say, but I think that I don't do you any possibility of hope for change if I can only tell you that everything's I've got together. I want Jesus more in my life. I want him to be a greater reality. I want him to be the priority of my life at the next level. He is a priority. I love him. I study his word. I'm faithful in a lot of areas, but there's this part of me that goes, maybe God, I need to position myself to be a little more willing to hear the Holy Spirit and let the Lord be the Lord of my life and trust him with everything, because sometimes the everything gets in the way, right, of what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so I'm looking out the window going, but Lord, you don't know. And the dash is saying, you need to slow down and check up some things. And I feel like God is saying, we need to not look at everything and start looking to the Lord. Amen? How many of you think that your anxieties or the challenges of your life would be reduced if you just look to the God who's over those challenges? I'll just share briefly because we've got limited time and we've already taken quite a bit. I just think that one of the things that just hit me recently was that there's a mentality that's coursing through a lot of the older generation, and every generation has its challenges. So I'm not going to point at any one particular person out or just a generation. But in a general way, I have noticed that people have this attitude that serving God was a season. They think serving God was like something I did in my 20s or in my 30s or my 40s or 50s. And so there's kind of this mentality that God is almost like a garment we put in a closet, and we take him off and just say, you know, that's for the next generation. I don't think that God actually wanted us to take off him like a garment. I think he wanted us to put on a new garment.
Come on.
Amen, an updated one that fits the temperament and the age and the generation. But how many of you know that God works in every season of our life? He wants to. He wants us to want him and to seek him. And I've noticed that in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s, there is a difference in the amount of energy. Can I get people who are north of 40s and their 50s and 60s and 70s and plus to just shout me down and say it's true? How many of you notice your energies change? But how many know that there are examples in the Word that there is no such thing as retirement in the kingdom? Pastor Bob and Pastor Betty, they had aspired to be here this morning. Pastor Bob's getting closer to 90 years old. He was apologizing for not being here this morning to be a part of the services. But he felt like the Holy Spirit said he needed to be careful and not be driving. You know, I pick on them in a positive way because I want to be like that. I don't want to hang up Jesus in the closet and saying, well, you know, my season's come and gone, and now the younger generation needs to do it. No, God wants everyone on the ship fully engaged. Maybe there's a shuffling. Maybe there's a change. Maybe there's a reprioritization that needs to happen in every generation, because God's a God of all generations. Amen? And so I know this isn't in the question, but getting radical can look like just the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you when it's inconvenient. I was spending time with Bella. She's here on the front row. I love her. God has made her in such a way, I think, that she's a secret weapon for the kingdom of God. I say this because she's shy, and I know I'm pointing her out, so I have to give her $5 because that's what we do. If we mention our kids in the church, we have to give them $5. So she's fine. So she's okay. Don't worry about her. So anyways, She if you ever see her, and she comes out, she's working on being kind, and it's not because she doesn't want to, it's just that she's shy. But how many know that God can take shy people and turn them to be world changers? So we're walking through the breezeway, spending time with one another at Walmart. Walmart presents all sorts of really awesome things. Like it's like the best cultural experience test ever. I was walking through the breezeway, and I want to be very respectful because this could be heard online too, and maybe the person that I saw maybe even be here today. I don't know, but I'm going to be authentic about what God is doing. She's with me, and someone is, they're totally high, and they're tweaking, and they're in the shopping cart. You know, the ones that you go around on, but this one's not going anywhere, but she's moving, and she's singing, and I'm like, man, that's a beautiful sound. And instantly, I was just like, dashboard. You know, I mean, some of you need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's not about everything. What is God saying? What is He saying? And so we went shopping, spending time with Bella, enjoying our time, and came back out. And some of the workers at Walmart were standing there. And I just said, hey, do you guys know this gal's story? And they said no. And they seemed to be almost more concerned about my response to her being there because it was obviously a little disruptive. There's some commotion happening. But, man, the heart of God was so strong. And began to speak to me, and He said to go and to talk to her. Okay, so, you know, looking for our family, radical, is to slow down and just to engage with something that's totally different, right? Begin to engage with her. God began to minister to her. Asked me to do several sequence of things, and she began to absolutely just weep as I asked her, can I pray for you? And then I began to weep. It's being radical is really connecting to God's heart for humanity. I was telling the staff, I was like, I was telling the staff, I said, you know, I want to live a life where my children see Jesus, have room to minister to people. And I feel like the church has a natural inclination to go to the holy cloister, this specialized, separated thing. And I don't think that's God's heart. I think Francis has it right. What are we doing to risk? And as I began to minister, she just began to, she actually, I was like feeling super awkward. Because she grabbed me like a spouse would grab you, and she just held on to me, and she began to weep, and my shirt was feeling just drenched. She was just so broken, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I don't even know you, but I just needed to be hugged. I just needed to feel love today. There are people surrounded. We are surrounded by people, and the dashboard, the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us. It was amazing because I'm connecting the dots here. I'm coming back. Bella was more loving than I've ever seen her be. And I thought, maybe if my life is surrendered to Jesus more, maybe my children will see the space for God to move. And what are we doing? Because it doesn't matter the title before our names. God is looking at our hearts and saying, is He the priority of our life for Him to move? And so I don't have time to tell you the rest of the story, but I feel God started something in that conversation. And I just pray that I'm positioned weekly to not reflect back on it and say, man, my children didn't get to see God move. You as an individual, to see God move, because it's awesome.
Come on.
Amen.
Can we give it up for Jesus just real quick?
Yeah. You give Him space to have compassion, and mm-hmm. it'll wreck you. That's what we're commitment fears, right? We're afraid of the emotions that can happen. God, I don't like crying, especially when there's a lot of people staring back at you.
Well, we're just going to skip a few down here. just for sake of time today. I think one of the main things I heard out of that was this statement by Francis Chan. He said, I just get sad because not only are we missing out on life, but we are turning away our children by the droves because our lives are not the adventure they see in Scripture. They are not experiencing the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, the pastor, what really sticks out to you about that quote?
I think it just goes back to what I was saying. I think that we could have just been about shopping. I could have fulfilled the narrative of the people who are like, is she bothering you? And not really just said, God, maybe. My wife was like, man, you guys got back like super late. And I was like, yeah. You know what's amazing? I love, and I want to just honor my wife. Anytime that I've delayed or I've not been able to maybe stay in the time that we were thinking, if I just say God had some business for me to do, she gives me instant grace. And I think that's not permission to not consider your family. Come on, can we get some wisdom and balance in here? Amen. Like, what, you never show up. But Jesus said something like, who is my family? And in that same text, he said, my family are my brothers and my sisters, those who do the will of God. And I think the true family of Christ is those who are committed to reprioritizing their lives.
That's right.
And willing to just say, maybe it's not my agenda here.
He finished up the video by saying it this way. They're experiencing, he's talking about kids, they're experiencing like a Christian version of the American dream that's watered down. And we just make excuses for really idolizing our families rather than really putting Christ in the mission first. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you just today is this. Are there other things that you see idolized in this way?
Yeah, how many know that it's not just family? Especially want to minister to those who maybe are sailors or non-sailors. It doesn't matter, military or not, just individuals. You didn't come with a family, and I don't want you to feel left in the conviction area. So I just want to mention some other areas that maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your hobby. You talked about that earlier. Maybe it's just that you actually idolize comfort itself. Comfort, you do everything you can to make your life comfortable. How many know that sometimes that can be fulfilled by things? You could be chasing things, media. And also, I do believe that there is an idol called time. Sometimes we make time bigger than God. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying seek his lordship first. And I think that's a healthy, balanced statement, because we're not telling you what to do or what your life should look like, except that maybe Jesus should have a voice that's louder than anyone in this room, including yours. Amen?
Right.
Can we like be in a heated agreement with that? Amen.
Amen.
How many of you think God is jealous for you and your time?
Right. Totally.
Has an appointment.
Amen.
For you. Some of you are going to reject this. That's okay. Not everybody received Jesus or his words, but my heart is not mine, but Christ, who longs to be in the kind of community with you.
That's so good. Well, let's finish up. This is going to be the last question. I'll let you kind of explain it here. But just based on all of this, how do you take all this information and apply it to your ordinary life? Like, how do you make it personally applicable?
So take it out of the ethereal.
Right.
And how do we apply
it? Like, how
this?
Do you apply it?
There's actually a scripture that I want to end with. But before I share that scripture, I just want to say that probably we need to take an account of our entire life. And I just encourage you today, have fun, spend time with your families, enjoy life. But maybe this message only has a real impact if you're willing to just say, God, maybe you're speaking to me today, and what can I do with this? And I would just take an account of your life and be willing to give it as an offering to the Lord and just say, God, what do you want to say about my life? So be quick. Maybe to pick up what God is trying to throw down. What are you trying to say to me, Lord? And just a willingness in your life. And so I think that we need to recognize what God is saying and pick that up and run quickly. How many know that that a lot of times we can be guilty of saying, let me pray about that. My wife had been asking me to fast for a long time, and I kept saying, like, let's pray about it. My excuse was very spiritual. The calendar's really busy, and so I need to make sure that it makes sense. And then one day she's like, well, I'm just going to start fasting, and I'll encourage you to join me. And, you know, there's things in my life that maybe I'm leading better, but how many know that we can't stand on this like, high stool and just be like, hey, our high horse, and be like, you know what, it's all about me. Maybe there's convictions in one another that maybe can speak into our lives. And I know that one of my favorite people said that he loves fasting, but eating was even better. And so how many know that maybe there's some things that God is speaking to you that maybe the Lord is wanting to reprioritize? So I just want to say, take every account of everything. Just say, God, what's before me? What's in the dashboard of my life? Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? And then place it before him and just say, God, what do you want to do? All the bases are important, but maybe you need to run them in the right direction. That's good. Let's look at this scripture as we land here today. Has this been helpful for you guys? I hope that you hear our heart. It's not in any way to condemn, but to encourage you for Jesus to show up with greater realities in our lives. He says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I love the Message translation of this. So here's what I want you to do. There's an action here. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Do you guys see that? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognized. Do you hear that? Readily recognized. Can we just say that word together? Readily. Amen? Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And let this be to your encouragement that God wants the best for you. He's not taking anything from you that he's not wanting to replace that's better for you. Amen? That's so true. Amen. Pastor Josh, is there anything you want to say on the end of that as well?
You know, I think that's absolutely the truth. I think God's just wanting you to understand today to have more of a kingdom mindset. Maybe you feel like you're doing pretty good right now. Like you're doing good. You read your Bible, you pray, you do those things. Maybe you're not there yet. And today, I just want to encourage you that the plans and the purposes for God, for you in your life to do the big things that God called you to do are going to exist within that kingdom mindset. And you're going to gain so much from that. So really, this scripture is so powerful and impacting because it really is. It's like, what are you doing in your ordinary, everyday life that shows that the kingdom of God is alive and well in you? And I want to challenge you, even today, take that with you. I'm going to make my ordinary life a reflection of the kingdom of heaven and what God wants to do in my life.
Yeah.
So
I think if you give God your ordinary, he can make it extra.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Life application this morning. I think if we just had to say it this way, I think we need to ask God what he wants and do it. Amen. And how many of you know that there was no exception? There's no exemption clause for you today. I'm too old. I'm too. Don't keep saying too. Keep saying, God, I'm willing for you to speak to me. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Father, we just thank you. In fact, maybe for you, there just needs to be a little step of boldness. And this is between you and the Lord. You're just saying, man, God, this is hitting me. And I want what's right. I want to seek the kingdom of God. Maybe your heart is like going, I recognize this is the right thing, but I'm not there yet in my heart. let me just say this. I think that God is big enough that he knows that if that's what you want but you're struggling, that he can help you even with the desires of your heart. And if you are someone also that really does desire that, just lift your hand. No one else but myself, maybe Pastor Josh is looking around. Just lift your hand. You're saying, that's me. I want to seek his kingdom first. Amen. Amen. That's just you, Lord. You're just like, man. So, Father, everyone that's lifted their hands this morning, God, help them. You said to ask, to seek, and to knock. Lord, I thank you that those who are asking, those who are seeking, God, after you, will find you. And I just thank you, Father, that you're going to encourage everybody, and you're going to keep us safe as we go home today.
Amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.